Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Hilary, for reading for us. Please do keep that passage in front of you where you can see it. How are we to live in a world which rejects and marginalizes us because of our faith in Jesus? Now, that's the question that Jesus is addressing as he speaks to his disciples in what's become known as the Sermon on the Plain. Rejection by the world was something for which he was preparing his disciples as they started to follow him. And it's something that we need to be ready for today, as we follow Jesus in a world which is becoming increasingly hostile to the Christian faith. In the verses we looked at last week, which contained four blessings and four woes, it was clearly assumed by Jesus that his followers would face rejection and even hatred in the world because of him. It was in that context that he gave his first disciples assurance that despite being despised by the world, they were blessed by God. Theirs was the kingdom of God. And although they might face insults and exclusion, they should rejoice and leap for joy, because great was their reward in heaven. In our passage this week, Jesus speaks again of the great reward in heaven that awaits his disciples. But in these verses, it's not their willingness to experience persecution that will be rewarded in heaven, but their willingness to love their enemies with a radical kind of love. Followers of Jesus may be hated and rejected by the world, but rather than responding with hatred, there to respond with an altogether unworldly love. So Jesus says, in a world in which people hate and insult you, I say, love your enemies. That's our first heading. Love your enemies. Please look down again with me at verse 27. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Well, this command to love your enemies is a counterintuitive one. It doesn't come naturally to love those we think of as enemies. Rather than doing good to those who hate us and blessing those who curse us and praying for those who ill-treat us, we're much more likely to harbour ill feeling towards them. Rather than wanting their good, we're likely to take pleasure in their misfortune. Rather than praying for their blessing, we're more likely to feel a smug sense of satisfaction when things don't go their way. So Jesus is calling us to a radical and quite unnatural kind of love. It's the kind of love that can only be the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And the rule of thumb guide for what that will look like is given in verse 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. It's what's known as the golden rule. Well, please notice that Jesus isn't telling us to treat others as they treat us. There's nothing radical about that. It's the way people normally treat one another. If someone's rude to another person, they can probably expect that other person to be rude back. If someone insults another person, they can probably expect to receive an insult in return. That's how the world normally works. Rather, Jesus is telling us to treat others as we would want them to treat us. So regardless of how others actually treat us, we're to do to them as we would have them do to us. In effect, Jesus is saying that a defining characteristic of his people is that they will refuse to distinguish between an enemy and a friend. A Christian will teach their enemy as a friend. And that becomes evident in the examples in verses 29 and 30. This radical love isn't just an internal feeling. It's to show itself in actions. And Jesus uses some extreme examples to make his point. So first example, if someone slaps you on the cheek, Jesus says, don't slap them back, don't give them a mouthful of abuse, rather offer them the other cheek as well. Now it's unlikely that Jesus is speaking in a literal sense here in relation to every kind of physical assault. So this isn't saying, for example, that a woman who's being physically abused by her husband should merely accept it and allow her husband to carry on beating her. Nor is this saying, for example, that a child being bullied at school should just take it on the chin and not report the bullying to the teacher. Now, the slap on the cheek that Jesus is referring to here was probably a way of delivering an insult to somebody. It may have been a public sign of rejection that Jewish believers received in the synagogue because of their allegiance to Christ. So Jesus is saying here that when Christians are publicly insulted and rejected, possibly because of our faith, we shouldn't retaliate to defend our honour, as others might do. Rather, we're to treat our enemy as a friend and be patient with them. We're to be willing to accept further insults in order to remain engaged with the person so that we might yet win them over or at least make them think twice about what they're doing. So in today's world, perhaps you post something about your Christian faith on social media and your post attracts the kind of vitriol that sadly is all too common these days. Or perhaps you speak about your Christian convictions at work and your colleagues respond to what you say with anger and abuse. Well, Jesus is saying, don't respond with like for like. Don't return insult for insult. Rather, respond with grace and patience, even if that risks opening you up to more insults and more vitriol. Treat your enemy as a friend. And perhaps that will give those who are insulting you reason to pause and to engage with you in a more constructive way. That's how to love your enemy, Jesus says. Second example, if someone takes your coat, don't withhold your other belongings. Rather, give them your shirt as well. Again, it's doubtful that Jesus intends us to take these words in a literal sense in relation to every kind of theft. So, for example, if a scammer calls and tricks you into giving them your bank details, this isn't saying that you should offer them access not only to your current account, but also to your savings account as well. I think the implication of Jesus' words here is that the person who takes your coat is in need. Now, they aren't taking your coat because they like the designer label. They're taking it because they're cold and they want to be warm. In that situation, Jesus says, rather than responding to the offence, respond to the need. Treat the thief as though they were a friend and be generous. Do what you can to meet that person's needs, even if that comes at further expense to yourself. That's how to love your enemy. And it's the kind of love that will make your faith in Jesus attractive. Third example, give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Well, again, this isn't a rule to be interpreted literally or woodenly in response to every request. So if a drug addict asks for money to fuel their addiction, it wouldn't be loving to give them what they wanted. The loving thing to do would be to say no and to find another way to help them. Jesus is telling us to love all people generously, regardless of who they are and the wrong they do to us. He wants us to show genuine concern for the well-being of others, treating even our enemies as though they were our friends. So he says, do to others as you would have them do to you. He wants his followers to treat others as we would have them treat us, with generosity and patience and forgiveness, even when facing insults and wrongdoing. Now, of course, this calls for great wisdom and imagination on our part. In these three examples, Jesus isn't laying out for us a set of rules to be followed slavishly. He's urging us to use our imaginations to work out for ourselves what this will look like in different situations. He wants us to nurture an attitude of the heart that seeks the good of others even when they do us wrong, and that's generous to others even when they're selfish. But we each need to work out what that will look like for us in our own situation. That we're to love our enemies in a way that is unique and radical, and which points them to the unique love of God for them in Christ. And that means, secondly, being merciful as God is merciful. That's our second heading. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, What credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Well, Jesus isn't pretending that it's easy to love like this. Now, of course, in some situations, loving others with patience and generosity is easy. It's easy to love those who love us. It's easy to do good to those who treat us in the same way. We might be very happy to lend money to someone whom we know will pay it back. Now, loving people like that takes no great effort. Even sinners love that way, Jesus says. But when we can love others in the context of hatred and insult and wrongdoing, we're loving them in a way that is so countercultural and so exceptional that the world can't help but see it. And when we love in this way, then we're displaying the family likeness of our Heavenly Father and showing ourselves to be his children. Now, of course, we might be suspicious of loving others in this way. We might be hesitant to make ourselves vulnerable like this. Who would willingly show love to someone who might repay it with insults? Who would willingly lend money to someone who's unlikely to repay it at all? But Jesus says, loving our enemies like this doesn't lead to ruin and misery as we might suspect. Rather, it results in great reward in heaven. Now, that isn't to say that we can earn a place in heaven by this kind of behavior. We can't. We would be wholly incapable of earning salvation, even if we were the most loving person on the planet. Jesus isn't suggesting that heaven is a reward we can win. Rather, he's contrasting the present with the future for those who are already saved through faith in Jesus. Whatever insults we might suffer in this life because of our faith, whatever possessions we might have taken from us, and whatever wealth we might give away, our loss will be more than offset by the joy we will gain when the one we've put our faith in brings us safely home to heaven. Even if we were suspicious of loving others in this way, perhaps we might doubt that we can actually do it. We might think that loving our enemies in this completely counterintuitive way is wholly beyond us. We just can't imagine ever being able to do it. And we can't, not perfectly anyway. That's why it's such good news that we're saved not by works, but by God's grace through faith. Our salvation isn't dependent on our ability to love like this. But even so, this kind of love isn't wholly alien to us. Now, the words of verse 35 remind us that this is exactly how God has treated you and me. He has loved us with generosity and mercy. He's shown kindness to the ungrateful and wicked, treating his enemies as friends and bringing us into his kingdom through faith in the cross of his Son. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And he goes on in verse 10, "While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. In his letter to the Colossians, he says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without fault, without blemish, and free from accusation. That is how God has loved us, by making his enemies his friends. And his love for us is what enables us to love others in the same way, albeit imperfectly, but nonetheless willingly and with joy. The more we appreciate the depth of God's love for us in Christ and the kindness that he has shown us at the cross, the more prepared we will be to reflect his character to others by loving them in the same way. Now, our experience of God's love for us is a deep well from which we can draw as we seek to love even our enemies with generosity and patience. And this pleases God, because as we love like this, we are displaying his family likeness and revealing his character to the world. Our prayer is that when we love like this, we might turn our enemies into God's friends. Let's pray. Loving Father, the command to love our enemies is a hard one, because we know all too well the sin in our hearts that loves instead to hold grudges and to have revenge. So please help us by the work of your Spirit within us to love those who ill treat us and to seek the good of those who wish us harm. Please help us to reveal your love and kindness through our actions so that you might be glorified. We ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.